Oh, wow. What? I don't. Our intro. Oh, there we go.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everyone out there. I'm Jeff Copper, Attention Coach, and the host of Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, March the 16th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic tonight, ADHD and addiction. With us in our virtual studios is Wendy Richardson, and I'm very excited about today's show. I'm anxious to talk to Wendy, and I'm anxious to learn a few things. Before we jump into things, as always, for our iTunes listeners out there, you can see archive shows on iTunes, but if you want to see upcoming shows, if you go to Attention Radio, that's without the talk, attentionradio.com, sign up for our newsletter, and we will send you our scheduled shows right to your inbox. That goes also for our regular listeners. If you go to Attention Talk Radio, you can see, I think it's scheduled out for about a month that you can view. But we actually are, I think we're scheduled out now through the end of May. So if you sign up for our newsletter, again, we will send it right to your inbox, and that's attentionradio.com. A couple of reminders on our ADHD weekly update. We've got the ACO conference. That's the ADHD Coaches Organizational Conference coming up in Chicago the end of May. For more information on that, go to ADHDcoaches.org. And also, it's a while out, but not too early to start planning for the CHAD conference that's going to be in Orlando next November. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. I also like to remind our listeners, you know, we're blessed with many very good sponsors or advertisers. We encourage you to check these organizations out. They have a lot of good things to offer. Also, if you go to our webpage, attentiontalkradio.com, there's some banner ads that you can click in. They'll take you right to their pages and sometimes some special offers. So, with that, again, tonight we're going to talk about ADHD and addiction. It's going to be a very exciting show. We got Wendy Richardson with us. Wendy is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified addiction specialist in private practice in California. She's the author of The Link Between ADHD and Addiction, Getting the Help You Deserve, and When Too Much Isn't Enough, Ending the Destructive Cycle of ADHD and Addictive Behavior. She's contributed chapters on ADHD and co-occurring addictions to books focusing on criminology and women with ADHD. Wendy has devoted the last decade of her 30-year career in mental health to treating people with ADHD and co-occurring addictions, eating disorders, and behavioral addictions. Wendy has a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and a master's degree in marriage and family counseling at the American Academy of Family Studies. She's also on the professional advisory board for the National Attention Deficit Disorder Association. So with that, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jeff, so much for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I got to tell you, I am particularly excited about tonight because I find the whole topic of ADHD and addiction to be fascinating. I mean, absolutely fascinating. I have been reading through some articles and stuff that you wrote, and I'm just really, really intrigued. And in looking at this, I kind of sometimes like to start at the beginning before we get into things, just to kind of set some basis. And I guess I want to ask you first off, what is an addiction?
That is a great question. I define an addiction as, well, first of all, there's two types of addictions. There's addictions to substances, whether it's sugar, food, heroin, coke, cigarettes, you know, cocaine, cigarettes, whatever. There's drugs and food. And then there's addiction to behaviors, shopping, gambling, sex, pornography, those kinds of things. But an addiction is something that affects one of the following, and more than one of the following six areas, and that is it affects your work and school, it affects your health, it affects your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, it may affect your dealings with the law, it can affect your finances, and it can affect your relationships. So if you're doing something or you're taking something and it's affecting any of these areas and you can't stop doing it, then you have an addiction.
That's interesting. So when you divide it in two parts, one sounded to me kind of almost chemical, like alcohol, nicotine, drugs, and the other one was behavioral, like gambling and shopping and stuff like that. And it seemed to me that the behavioral side, some of that, it's there's an adrenaline rush associated with that. Is that accurate?
Well, that is accurate. And actually, when it comes to problem gambling, one of the things that we can do is we can get people a medication called naltrexone, which is it's an opiate blocker. And it blocks the thrill or the rush from gambling so that when people are gambling, they're not feeling the feeling that makes them want to keep doing it.
So this is fascinating to me. So the adrenaline or that feeling that keeps them doing, I mean, the brain is actually releasing chemicals at that point in time and changing the chemistry of the brain. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And usually the chemical that we know the most about that it's releasing is dopamine, and that's that neurotransmitter that gives us a sense of well-being. It gives us that rush, that feel-good rush.
So in one sense, you can get that adjustment, the dopamine chemically, whether it's through like other types of chemicals or through behaviors can kind of create the rush and affect the dopamine, effectively kind of getting to the same end chemically. Is that accurate?
Yes, and there's other things, you know. There's a couple things I like to do to increase my dopamine. One is downhill skiing and one is rock climbing. And when I'm doing those things, I'm incredibly focused. I can't think about anything else, and I get a real rush of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we look at, you know, especially with people with ADHD, is how can you shift this around so that you're doing things, that you're creating dopamine in different ways that aren't going to, you know, affect your work or school, your health, your self-esteem, the law, your finances, or your relationships.
It's fascinating. So are those with ADHD more prone to addictions?
Absolutely, yeah. For a variety of reasons, and one reason that we look at is dopamine. And with ADHD, what we find is that people aren't able to utilize their dopamine, you know, as well as people that don't have ADHD. And so when you dopamine, like I said, gives you that sense of well-being, it helps you focus. And so all addictive substances, from sugar to heroin, increase dopamine. And so people, not even knowing why, oftentimes are self-medicating ADHD, and they don't even know that they have ADHD.
Interesting. Interesting. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud here a little bit. So, you know, if you're trying to get some parity in that stuff, you mean you might be attracted to food, you might be attracted of acts of danger, shopping, just anything. And the attraction really there is to bring a chemical change in your brain to bring balance or parity in what's going on to make you feel good.
Exactly, right.
So which, if you have a different levels of dopamine, it would make somebody with ADHD more prone to seek out one of these things, whether it's chemical or behavior, in order to satisfy it.
Absolutely. And to top it off, if you have ADHD, especially if it's not diagnosed or treated earlier on in your life, people develop shame. They feel badly about themselves. People have co-occurring depression. You know, they have other things going on, and so they want to medicate that as well.
How does some of the ADHD drugs, like the stimulants, affect this? If somebody's on some stimulants, does it decrease their need for some of this stuff and reduce their addictive behavior?
Well, it treats the ADD, which therefore does. So we can't say that if someone is addicted to meth that we're going to give them stimulants and it's going to help their meth. But what we can do is once somebody gets off of meth, and you know, meth, which is different from the stimulant medications, but once someone gets off cocaine or whatever, is that then you can help them regulate their dopamine to a functional level with the medications, because most of the medications for ADHD work with dopamine. Some work with dopamine and norepinephrine.
So if somebody actually has an addiction, which we probably should get to a little bit, you treat the addiction first, and then you treat the ADHD, right?
For the most part, absolutely. Now, I've had some rare cases where people's ADHD is so, it's really hard to tell what's ADHD and what's what they call acute withdrawal syndrome. Early on, you know, in early recovery. So most of the time, yeah, you've got to clear everything out to figure out what's really going on. I've had some cases with people that have relapsed again and again and again where I'm not a medical doctor, so I work with a medical doctor, and what he's decided to do was to treat it co-occurringly because they weren't able to listen in the treatment center. They weren't able to show up on time to their meetings. I had one young man that kept running around the building all the time, and they said, oh, he's got to be on speed. And I said, drug test him. they drug tested him, and he wasn't on speed. They finally put him on some ADD medicine, and he was able to sit in treatment and actually learn and get what he needed from treatment.
Fascinating. Wendy, tell you what, I want to take a break and go to a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about or ask if there's a progression. In other words, do those with ADHD have a tendency to kind of start on something, kind of graduate right through it? But before we go to break, you have a new book out, right?
Yes, it's been out for a few years now, and it's called When Too Much Isn't Enough, Ending the Destructive Cycle of ADHD and Addictive Behavior. And in this book, I go much more into the behavioral addictions of shopping and gambling and pornography and those kind of addictions. And, boy, it is so common in my private practice to have people come in, especially men with ADHD, and find out that they are addicted to pornography or have a sexual addiction. And I can sure address that more after the break.
Absolutely, absolutely. So with if anybody wants to get in contact with you and have some questions in this space, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Probably the best way to reach me would be on my website, which is ADD, Attention Deficit Disorder, and AND, Addiction, ADDICTION.com, ADDandaddiction.com.
Got it. With that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm with Wendy Richardson. We're talking about ADHD and addiction. Wendy, before the break, I wanted to kind of get in. When people with ADHD... since it's a life cycle situation, do they have a tendency to start at a certain place and kind of graduate along their addictions, or is it one of those things where they just kind of start in an area and stay in that area?
Well, usually the progression I see, Jeff, is that if we look back, we'll find kids that would pull a chair over, climb to the top of the refrigerator to get a jar of Tang or, you know, a box of brown sugar or something. That oftentimes sugar is one of the first, quote, drugs that people will use to make them feel better. And then the next progression oftentimes is in nicotine and then alcohol, marijuana. And then some people will stay with the more calming, you know, drugs, and other people will go with the stimulants. They will go with cocaine or meth. Other people will just stay at marijuana and alcohol, or, you know, sometimes they'll progress to the narcotics, to heroin, and the prescription narcotics, Vicodin, OxyContin, and those types of things.
So I'm curious, you started with this, sugar was the beginning.
For many people, it is. Candy bars. I had someone that came in, and he had gathered 53 candy bar raptors from under his daughter's bed. and he thought that sugar was the problem. But the problem really was ADHD. Once the ADHD was properly medicated and cared for, she didn't eat so much sugar anymore.
So what I'm hearing kind of between the lines is she was eating the sugar because it changes the chemical stuff, because she was self-medicating. It just changes the chemical makeup of her brain to kind of help calm her down or focus or whatever, and that's the reason she was doing it?
Yep, it increases dopamine. Sugar does.
It really
just
does.
Like all the other drugs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So rather than take a stimulant, she was naturally drawn to candy bars because it had, I'm generalizing here, I have to be careful what I'm hearing you say, but it more or less had a similar effect.
Exactly, yeah. But the thing is that the other drugs, the drugs that people use, are never as effective as the medications for ADHD.
But this is what's fascinating to me, is that on their own, behaviorally, they're just drawn to certain things that kind of help make that chemical adjustment for them, which is why they gravitate to it. And if you can deal with the addiction first and then kind of work with some other things, then that's what's the word I'm looking for? The need for that sugar actually decreases because they're getting the dopamine adjustment from other means.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Uh-huh.
That's fascinating. Which is, you know, one of the things as an ADHD coach I work with clients, and we teach them how to pause. And whenever they're procrastinating about something, usually they're not interested in. I always ask them, what are you doing when you're procrastinating? And the idea is to kind of find out, you know, what's there. And many times I find that they're engaged in something that's stimulating to the brain, makes their brain feel good, whether it's watching TV or shopping or gambling or sex or pornography or eating or doing access stuff. And it's interesting because what I'm kind of hearing is if you're not interested in something and you want to stimulate your brain, you automatically go to one of these other things to kind of self-medicate yourself. And what starts off relatively small can actually grow into a bigger addiction.
Absolutely, and especially with gaming. I mean, I work with so many young men with a computer gaming where they've lost their girlfriends, they've lost their job, you know, they've lost all these things because they get into the interactive games like WoW, World of Warcraft, you know, and they're spending hours and hours and hours and hours hyper-focused on this. Their brain is just great, feeling good, but the rest of their life is falling apart and they can't stop.
Tell me how you work with people that are moving away, because the chemical stuff is a little bit different, because I'm presuming that you have to deal with the chemical stuff first and then deal with the ADD. But when it's a behavioral type thing like gambling or eating or something like that, how do you work with people in that space?
Well, it depends on what the addiction is, and oftentimes if it's something that's, you know, causing huge problem, financial problems like gambling or shopping, depending on how much and what they're doing, we have to make some agreements to really start to work on that right away. In the meantime, I'll try to evaluate them myself and then see if they need to be evaluated and get some help, because medication can really help with these kinds of behaviors as well. A lot of it has to do with willingness, and some people will come in and they'll say, you know, I really want to stop, you know, I want to get off of World of Warcraft, and I'm saying, well, then the only way you're going to be able to do it is to disconnect your computer. And some people, they want off so bad that they're willing to do that, to close down the internet and just do that. Other people, they just can't quite see that happening yet, so they'll try to cut back and try to not do it as much, and before they know it, they're back to doing it, you know, 11 hours a day.
In your experience, is it, excluding eating, because food, you have to eat, but some of these other addictions, is it really effective for somebody to say, listen, I'm going to reduce the amount of time, or is it really better to unplug the thing?
Well, for the most part, it's usually better to just unplug it and just start from scratch, you know, be abstinent for a period of time, and then maybe you can start back, you know, and maybe not. Maybe it's something they can never do. But you bring up a really good point with food, because I think food is without a doubt the hardest, because we can't just abstain from food. And it's the same with love. You know, you can't just abstain from loving and being in relationship. You can abstain from pornography. You know, you can abstain from drugs. You can abstain from gambling. But the food is really, really tough.
That's interesting. I want to come back to that for a second, and I want to kind of throw out there for people, because I've had more emails and stuff asking about coaching and kind of how it works. And I'll tell you, in the space where you're dealing with, like, let's say gambling or even gaming and stuff like that, I know one of the common approaches in coaching is to change a person's geography, whether you're talking to them about something they want to do or not. I mean, I frequently, like, you know, have people will stand on a chair. What's it feel like to be on the top of the world, and have them get in a closet? What's it feel like to be, you know, dark, a room all isolated? And those are some games really to get some stuff. But one of the things that I think in coaching that I use is when you're having some difficulty, literally change your geography. Take the computer and stick it in another place, or actually go about things a little bit differently, because if it's not readily there, it's not. And I remember going to my MBA, and they were talking about, you know, CEOs trying to get people to stop meeting behind closed doors, and they would just take all the doors off their hinges because you changed the geography and people couldn't do it, and they would change their behavior. And so I just kind of throw that out there. It's interesting because you can affect some of these things by literally changing your geography in this particular environment. But going back to food, let's talk about food a little bit, because that sounds like it's really one of the more challenging ones, because we do have to eat. But if it is self-medicating, can you talk to our listeners about how you deal with people in that space?
Yes, because usually the types of food that people are either binging on or overeating are sugar and highly refined carbohydrates, because that's the kind of food that increases dopamine. You don't see a lot of people that are binging on salads and meat. You pretty much see that people are going for these foods that really stimulate serotonin, and dopamine. And so part of it is looking at the level of addiction. You know, some people can say, okay, I can abstain from these things. Most of the time, there needs to be some abstinence from the foods that are really problematic. Doesn't mean they can never eat sugar again, but if someone is telling me that they're eating a quart of ice cream every night and 4 or 5 candy bars during the day, or I knew somebody once that was drinking 36 cups of coffee when he went on ADD medicine, he brought the coffee way, way down. So,
wow.
Yeah. His stomach was not doing well, Jeff.
Well, that's fascinating, because what you're saying is that you can almost spot it by just asking them what their diet. I mean, if they were to record what they're eating today, you could probably see it with a like blatantly just on the types of foods that are eating.
Absolutely. And the other question I ask a lot is, people, you know, will be doing cocaine or meth or something like that, and I'll say, well, what do you do when you do cocaine? And the people with ADHD will say, well, I clean my apartment. You know, I pay my bills, you know. So to them, what the cocaine is doing is that it's increasing their dopamine in ways that they're not going out and partying, but they're actually using it to help themselves focus. Now,
to actually get work done.
Yeah, is cocaine a good idea? No.
Yeah.
Taking small doses of psychostimulant medicines or other medicines is far more, has far more efficacy.
That's interesting. I want to hit our second break, but before we do, again, if our listeners want to get in contact with you, the best way to do that would be?
addandaddiction.com. It's all one long word, addandaddiction.com.
Excellent. And we're going to go to break. When we get back, I want to kind of talk to you about the difference. Like, are those with ADHD in a more position to become addicted? In other words, what percentages do they become addicted as compared to the general population? So with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ari Tuckman, author of More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. This is the only book actually written for adults with ADHD. Each chapter is divided into short articles, so you can read only the stuff you want in the order you want. I take lessons from the research and make them totally useful in your daily life. You can get a free PDF of the first chapter at adultadhdbook.com. Check it out.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, with Wendy Richardson and talking about ADHD and addiction. Wendy, this has been a this has been an interesting and enlightening conversation for me. I would like to ask you, do those with ADHD, as a percentage of the population, do they represent a higher percentage of people that actually become addicted to different chemicals?
It's about 55% of adults with ADHD abuse drugs and alcohol.
55%?
55%, and I'm looking in my book for the exact quotation on that. But, it's pretty high.
Wow.
Let's see if I can find the quote. While we're talking, I'll see if I can find exactly where I got that.
That's a very large number.
Mhm. Yeah. Oh, this is that was from. Wait a minute. Let me see, huh?
It's
that was
funny.
From the Biederman study, Joseph Biederman and Willens, and that's a is ADHD a risk factor for psychoactive substance use disorder, and that's where the 55% came from.
It's interesting because help me out here because I don't want to misrepresent anything, but it just kind of strikes me is if it's that high, it's almost instinctive for those with ADHD to go after those things. Almost like, I always talk, how does a carnivore know not to eat a plant? It just knows, you know what I'm saying? With numbers that high, it's almost like ADDers just, they intuitively figure out how they can adjust their chemicals in their brains by either some of these behavioral things or some of these chemical things to bring the soothing or the calmness that they can focus.
Absolutely. We get very creative, as far as how to take care of ourselves, even though we don't know what's going on. People can be very, very creative and either choose substances or behaviors as a way of treating something they don't even know they have.
And so I think this is really the cool part about the show is if you have these different chemicals imbalances in your brain and you're instinctively kind of going, the key really is you can just let it go, or you can consciously pause and say, hey, listen, this is here. I need to witness this and start to manage it so that you are in control of what's going on, as opposed to letting these things go out of control and getting into something that can really hurt you, like meth or cocaine or something that's very addictive, that's very difficult to get off chemically.
I do a lot of consulting with jails and prisons, and the prisons are filled with men and women who are there because of a substance abuse and addiction, and many of them have co-occurring ADHD.
Interesting. Were most of them diagnosed, in your experience, were most of them diagnosed with ADHD before they got into prison, or are they kind of getting diagnosed when they're there?
Well, they're not really getting diagnosed when they're there. Not much treatment or diagnosis goes on in prison, but, in some of the cases that I've worked with, as we go back, you can see a direct clinical history of ADHD that goes all the way back to childhood. But it's been undiagnosed, unmanaged, untreated.
That's, and one of the things about Attention Talk Radio that we were trying to do is to try to be the glue to kind of bring things together and create awareness, because it's very easy to access. You don't have to pay a subscription. You don't have to do anything. It's a place to kind of get information. And it just kind of screams at me that for so long, society's had a stigma or kind of whatever. But if many people are in the criminal justice system and they have ADHD and they're not even getting treatment when they're there, it just seems to me like an injustice, because it's they're ignoring it. It's kind of creating even more problem in jail. Whereas if they address some of this stuff, maybe they could help people out and manage it and really get people back on track.
Oh, absolutely. And people with ADHD are very poor criminals. They don't do well in jail because they tend to break the rules all the time, sometimes because they're just not able to pay attention.
I can't tell you how many people I've coached who will get in a fight with a spouse, and it's over something that's nothing, and when it's over with, they say, well, what was it about? And it was really kind of, it's almost seemingly just about the adrenaline rush, because it made them feel good.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And I can very see somebody, just sitting there with nothing to do, just starting to pick a fight with the guy next to him, because he just needs something to stimulate his brain to adjust the chemicals in it, and off you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I do provide consulting and coaching over the phone, so if people do want to reach me, they can reach me at that internet
Absolutely. That's important, because particularly if you've got an addiction to something, this, I would encourage them to give you a buzz, because you're a specialist in this. There's a lot of coaches out there, but if you've got some of these things in particular and it's a problem, I mean, why not go to an expert who has some experience in that background? So thanks for bringing it up. Winnie, in the time we have left, is there anything left that you'd like the listeners to go that you think would be helpful in 30 seconds or less?
I want people to understand that ADHD is treatable and addictions are treatable. And to not lose hope, not give up hope, but to get and find someone. There's not a lot of people that specialize in this, but to find people that understand both and get both treated. And the first thing to do is get your substance abuse issues looked at and start treatment with that, and then see if there's an underlying ADHD. And if so, I feel very hopeful, because I see people get better all the time, Jeff.
That's great news. So, Wendy, thanks again for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it. It's been great. We're going to have it on again relatively soon. But out there, just a few shows to think about. We're going to have Gina Pear on the end of May, I believe, talking about ADHD and its impact on sex. And Dr. Roberto Olivardia is going to come on in May talking about the research behind some of the eating disorders. So with that, everyone, have a great week. We'll catch you next week. And thanks again, Wendy.
Thank you.